Today in Food on Friday, how climate change might affect the range and maybe even the price of fish at your local store. Many fishing fleets could be forced to change where they fish, how they fish, and what they catch because of changes in marine water temperature. Now, Tasmania is a perfect case study because not only are its waters a temperature change hotspot, but the fishing industry in that state is working hard to adapt. Neil Stump heads the Tasmanian Seafood Industry Council, and Alastair Hobday is a principal research scientist with the CSIRO Climate Adaptation Flagship, and he's been providing scientific advice to the industry. Welcome to you both. Alastair, I'll start with you. How much is actually known about how climate change will affect Tasmania's ocean temperatures?
We've been monitoring water temperatures off the coast of Tasmania since the 1940s, so we have a very long record of how temperatures are changing in this region, and that's showing very clearly that water temperatures are rising a lot off the coast of Tasmania.
Why? What's driving that?
We have a current that flows south along the east coast of Australia, and that carries warm water south to Tasmania. And at the same time as that current is strengthening, global warming is leading to local increases in temperature. So we've got this double effect of both warmer water flowing further south and local heating leading to this hotspot region off our coast.
Mm. So we use this term hotspot. Why? How much warmer or how much greater is the change in around Tassie than other parts of the world?
Off the coast of Tasmania, the water is warming in the upper 10% of what we're seeing anywhere on the planet. So this hotspot region is one of about 20 that are located around the planet where ocean warming is very rapid.
Can you take me through some of the effects you've seen on marine life there? I want to talk about some of the main fish or seafood species that are caught in Tasmania. What do you know about things like the effect on abalone or rock lobster?
Well, these changes are actually happening right through the food chain. It's not just of the species that we're catching. But for example, at the coast with intertidal animals that you can see on a visit to the beach, we've seen about 15 of 30 species move further south in Tasmania. Then as you move into deeper water, it's been species like a sea urchin has moved further south. That is affecting abalone directly as well by reducing the amount of food available for them. And then we're also seeing changes in recruitment of rock lobster, which is a negative thing, but the warm water is also leading to increases in growth of lobster in some regions too. So there are both positive and negative impacts that we're observing at this time.
But the urchin you mentioned there in particular, that's problematic, isn't it?
It's one of the first species that was observed moving south into Tasmania, and when it arrives, it just loves to feast on giant kelp and other types of algae. So that removes a very productive habitat that had been very important for lobster and abalone.
Neil Stump from the Tasmanian Seafood Industry Council, tell me what you're seeing or what your members are telling you that they're seeing when they're out on the water.
Look, what our members are telling us is very much in sync with the scenario that Alistair has just described. Fishermen, particularly divers, commercial divers and abalone divers on the east coast of Tasmania, are seeing the expansion of urchin barrens caused by the southerly progression of central stiffness, so that they're quite clearly seeing that. A lot of the technology used by fishers these days will give them information on water temperature, things of that nature, and you know, there are comments we do notice we're getting more spikes in water temperature and things of that nature. Also, we're seeing algal blooms more often, things
which you just saw recently in the scallop fishery there.
Species of algae down here, and also the pink tides that you've seen on the mainland recently. We started seeing them in Tasmanian waters about 15 years ago. So fishers do take notice of those sort of events and comment on them and try to understand what impacts that may have.
Alistair, that algal bloom on the east coast that led to the scallop fishery closure this month, do you know if you can attribute that to climate change and the warming of the waters?
Those kind of events are what we predict will become more frequent under climate change, and that's because as the waters warm, they generally become more stable, and that provides very good growing conditions for algal blooms. But it just as in a single storm event can't really be attributed to climate change, neither can one of these single outbreaks. But if we began to see those happening every year from now on, then you'd say that was consistent with climate change.
Mm. And Neil, from an industry point of view, how damaging is something like that?
Look, this event we've just experienced has definitely caused some disruptions within industry. The scallop season, for example, industry decided to close that early because of the disruption that had been caused. It's delayed the opening of the rock lobster season on the east coast. It's caused an extended closure in the abalone fishery and the commercial dive fishery, because with the algal bloom, as your listeners may be aware, there was a biotoxin found present in the algae, which if ingested in sufficient quantities can actually cause illness and ultimately death. So
so not where you want to be grabbing your scallops from.
Exactly. Yeah. And we have to be take a very precautionary approach in regards to these sort of incidents. But what I think this does is run up a flag that, as Alistair said, these events might become more frequent. If they do, if there's biotoxins associated with these algae, we have to really think our way through how we're going to manage our fisheries from a food safety perspective going into the future, and what sort of checks and balances, how we're going to monitor the food safety status, for want of a better description, of our seafood. And this is nothing to do with our clean greens status or whatever the fishery is doing. This is just, nature taking its course, so to speak.
Mm. Alistair, salmon's also a big industry there, although it tends to be, it's farmed rather than wild caught. Are you concerned at all, or are you predicting any changes for the salmon industry in Tasmania?
The warming waters will definitely challenge salmon at some times of the year. But we're working with the salmon industry at the moment to provide forecasts of what the upcoming summer temperatures are going to be. And we found that if we can predict it's going to be a warm summer, for example, that industry can do things to take preparation for that. So, for example, the salmon are farmed in areas around southeast Tasmania that vary a little bit in water temperature. So if it's going to be a particularly warm year, they can choose to put more of the fish into their cooler parts of their leases. They can also prepare for disease management, and even getting ready to do vary their stocking rates or even their harvest times.
How accurately can you make those predictions in water temperature?
We're accurate between about 60 to 70% of the time, and that's at a lead time of about 4 months. At the moment, your seven-day weather forecast you see on the news is accurate about 70 or 80% of the time. So we're obviously behind that at a longer lead time, but we're still better than tossing a coin. And armed with that information about the future, it does give businesses an opportunity to do some proactive planning.
On RN, this is Bush Telegraph. It's Food on Friday, and we're discussing how the changing water temperature around Tasmania is affecting the seafood industry there and could have an effect on the range and the price of the seafood that ultimately makes it onto your plate. My guests are Dr. Alistair Hobday, Principal Research Scientist with the CSIRO Climate Adaptation Flagship, and also Neil Stump, Chief Executive of the Tasmanian Seafood Industry Council. Alistair, I want to ask you a little bit about the translocation projects that's going on as part of the adaptation strategy. What exactly is happening?
As we recognise that the waters are warming, fishermen and aquaculturalists are not just sitting back and waiting for that to happen. They're thinking about strategies that they can do that will improve the profitability of their business in future. One example might be that if the waters are warming, you can take advantage of that by moving animals from places that are getting perhaps too hot to places that are a little bit cooler. One example is that you could move large numbers of rock lobster, for example, from areas where their productivity is not so good into areas where they can do better. And the industry has been involved in one experiment recently where they in fact move deep water lobster, where the growth is quite slow, into shallower waters where the growth is more rapid. And that offers a kind of opportunity for increasing productivity of the fishery in future.
Neil, that's a huge difference to the way you go about your fishing when you compare that to years gone by.
Oh, definitely. And I think industry is rapidly coming to realise all these sort of tools that are in the toolbox we have to look at seriously to maintain the productivity of our fishery, to maintain the viability of the fishery. And it may well be, as Alistair has described, that we need to look at translocation, we need to look at ranching, and what other options we have in regards to our wild capture fisheries. So definitely, I believe we'll see a lot more research into these various sort of tools that we may have to help us into the future.
But does that have quite a significant impact on coastal towns around Tassie? I know many of them have this rich fishing history, and by the sounds of it, you've now got fleets operating in different parts of the waters and presumably people moving with them to different parts of Tasmania.
Look, what we've experienced, I suppose, in two fisheries, mainly scalefish and rock lobster, is a decline in the number of active fishers over time, and that does mean that the fishing fleets in some locations have shrunk. But I think you could say they have stabilised, and what that will mean for the economies and demographics of coastal towns, again, is yet to play out. Will we see fishers remain based in their home ports and simply travel to locations where, you know, they're going to get the best catches, or will they actually move their base of operation? Again, these are sort of questions that we're only starting to consider.
And I guess there's also what that means to the cost of production and ultimately what the end product's got to sell for.
Oh, definitely. And these days, it's like any business. What it's about is keeping a rein on your production costs while maintaining your profitability. One thing with a lot of Tasmania's wild caught seafood products, they go to export markets, which do tend to pay a premium. So from that, and that's basically in China and Southeast Asia, with an emerging middle class that seems to be prepared to pay the price for premium product. So from that perspective, hopefully we will be able to maintain the viability of our industry.
But say something like abalone, isn't that almost on the very edge of its growing climate anyway? There must be serious questions about what the future is for that fishery.
Look, I think that's a question that I'm not really in a position to answer in any great detail. I think you will find that a lot of marine species, as including abalone, as Alistair has described, you know, are very temperature sensitive. But what we don't know is how they will be able to adapt to a changing climate. Will they simply move, or and being realistic, once you get to the southern coast of Tasmania, there's nowhere else you can move to.
Yeah, next stop, Antarctica.
Yes, or Macquarie Island.
Yeah, Macquarie, yeah, which is not really where you're going to set up a fishing fleet from. So,
no.
Alistair, when you look at what's happening in Tassie, it sounds like the industry is really making a serious effort to adapt. Is anything similar happening elsewhere around Australia?
No, I think we've got a leading effort in Southeast Australia, and particularly Tasmania. I think that's in part because of the strong working relationship between science management and industry that we have here. Me and other scientists work on climate change, but we're also involved in the assessment process in looking at things like biosecurity, bycatch issues. So we've had a strong working relationship with industry for a long time, and that has meant, you know, that I think some of the messages around climate change have been absorbed easily, and it's also been a recognition that there are plenty of options, even in this hot spot. Although we focus on things moving further south as it gets warmer, it's also possible for species to move a little bit deeper in the water column, because as you know, it gets colder the deeper you go in the ocean. So things like abalone, while the main fishery now might be happening in waters shallower than 10 to 20 metres, maybe abalone will just move a little bit deeper, say to 30 metres, and the fishery will need to adapt with new measures to catch those animals as they're a little bit deeper.
Neil, are you likely to, or have you already been seeing your members catching some fish that they would normally have associated with maybe the waters off New South Wales as opposed to Tassie?
Look, I think through a project called Red Map, which has been developed and designed to track and take note of where we're seeing and species we don't normally see in Tasmanian waters, we are definitely seeing species like pink snapper, King George whiting, yellowtail kingfish further south and in greater numbers than what we have before. Definitely starting to see greater numbers of the eastern rock lobster, which has traditionally been found in New South Wales waters. There are reports of people catching greater numbers of those. So there again, the populations of that species may start to become self-recruiting in Tasmanian waters.
When did you start to get reports of those lobsters turning up?
We've seen individuals for 20-odd years, but I think they're actually lobsters that got lost, those individuals, and it ended up in Tasmanian waters. But there have been reports over the probably only the last two or three years of greater numbers of varroa turning up in catches. They're still relatively small numbers, but also that they're being recorded as being caught further south as well.
Is that a problem? If you're a southern rock lobster fishery, does it matter that you have a different species in there?
No, not at all, really, from our perspective, because varroa does bring a good price on in the Sydney market, for example. It's a local species there. If you go to the Sydney fish market, it is a species that is in demand. So really, from a fisherman's point of view, if they turn up in large numbers and start inhabiting our waters, there is a market for them.
You just send them back home?
Yes, basically, yes.
Tasmania's seafood, like a lot of its produce, but seafood in particular, has such a reputation around Australia and internationally, like you said. Is it something that you do see a bright future for the industry? Do you think you can adapt and will continue to see Tassie seafood at a reasonably affordable price around Australia?
Oh, look, I've no doubt that hopefully the whole industry will be able to adapt going forward. Again, that's an unknown, but I think, particularly if we take the aquaculture example, they are very much aware of the need to adapt. I think wild capture fishers are too. So I think you will see a greater adaptation going forward. What that'll ultimately mean, again, is unclear.
Yeah, we'll know in the years ahead, I guess. Neil, interesting stuff. Thanks very much for joining us today. Appreciate it. Neil Stump is the head of the Tasmanian Seafood Industry Council. And Alistair, also thank you today. Nice to have your thoughts. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Cameron. Have a good weekend.
Alistair Hobday is Principal Research Scientist at the CSIRO Climate Adaptation Flagship. That's Bush Telly for today and for the week. A big thanks to the team. Executive Producer Greg Muller, producers Verica Jokic, Kieran McLennan, Belle Tromp, Georgia Power and Margot Foster. And technical production this week by Paul Penton, Kerry Dell and Angie Grant. Cameron Wilson's my name. I'll see you on Monday. Have a good weekend. You're on RN.